part of the introduction to the narrative of the outpouring of the Spirit on Pentecost. These verses tell of the risen Lord's conversation with his disciples on the eve of his ascension. When the apostles had come together, they asked Jesus, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. The word of the Lord. Please read Psalm 68 with me responsively. Let God arise and let God's enemies be scattered. Let those who hate God flee. As smoke is driven away, so you should drive them away. As the wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. Let them be merry and joyful. Sing to God. Sing praises to God's name. Exalt the one who rides the clouds. I am is that name. Rejoice. In your holy habitation, O God, you are a father to orphans, defender of widows. You give the solitary a home and bring forth prisoners into freedom, but the rebels shall live in desert places. O God, when you went forth before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth quaked and the skies poured down rain at the presence of God, the God of Sinai, at the presence of God, the God of Israel. You sent a beautiful rain, O God. You restored your inheritance when it languished. Your people found their home in it. In your goodness, O God, you have made provision. Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth. Sing praises to the Lord. You ride in the heavens, O God, in the ancient heavens. You send forth your voice, your mighty voice. Ascribe power to God, whose majesty is over Israel, whose strength is in the skies. How wonderful you are in your holy places, O God of Israel, giving strength and power to your people. Blessed be God. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel this morning is from John chapter 17. After Jesus had spoken these words to the disciples, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all the people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world had existed. I have made your name known to all those whom you gave me to the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I come from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from our Father, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This is typically the Sunday when we celebrate the ascension of Jesus. But to the disciples, did it feel like a glorious end of the story? The disciples had stuck close to Jesus in these 3 years of ministry. They had been firsthand witnesses to all of it, to the crowds thirsty for abundant life who had followed Jesus from village to village. And they had seen the worst of times too. Like a bad case of whiplash, the disciples had been with Jesus when he was here and when he was away. He arrived on the coattails of John and blew them all away with his insight into Scripture, into his way of knowing and loving people. And then he died. And then he rose again. And now he left again. Whiplash. If you've ever had someone in your life who has been in and out of the picture, I imagine it can be emotionally exhausting. The back and forth of it all, the hot and the cold. So while we may think of the ascension as a miraculous moment of glory for Jesus, I doubt that it initially felt that way to the disciples. The book of Acts is a continuation of the Gospel of Luke. And today in Acts, we overheard this conversation of the disciples and Jesus. And they say, "Is now the time that you've been predicting, the day when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? Is now the day when the kingdom will come?" There's so much wrapped up in that question. It's a question that's bursting with expectation and with hope. It's the moment the disciples have been waiting for, longing for, dreaming about for these 3 years of Jesus' ministry. Can you imagine it, the anticipation? This reminds me of the season that we are in, the summer season. For many, it is the vacation season. After a long and dark winter, it is a time when we shed those winter clothes, those layers that protect us from the winter and expose our tender skin to the elements, to the sun and the wind and the rain. We do this willingly, getting back out into nature, to softball and soccer fields, to golf courses and porches and patios and decks. We open wide the windows of our homes, letting out the stale air and letting in new, fresh air. Our parched skin soaks it all up as we wander about during this season, as we pile into our cars and take a vacation. When I was a kid, vacations were precious times. My parents were business owners, and so taking a vacation meant taking a risk on losing a lot of income. But they helped us understand, as kids, that taking time off of work to enjoy family, to travel, to rest, was so necessary. So we would gas up the old Oldsmobile Caprice Classic, the old blue, and hit the road. I remember one trip heading out to the Black Hills of South Dakota. And Dad was a carpenter, so he had built these partitions in the back seat for my sisters and I. There were three of us. And he knew that there would be some squabbling and some complaining and some poking and some tickling and things like that that just were not too fun. So he had built these partitions in between, so we each had a little cubby. And then they gave us markers to draw on, but they on the partition, on the wood, but no drawing on each other. And so we set off for this experience. Experience had taught my dad that the heightened expectation of a family vacation heightened all of our emotions. We got all riled up, full of energy. Experience had taught Mom and Dad that if there was any way to rein in all that energy, it would mean a more pleasant experience for all of us. Comments from the back seats were plenty. Requests for snacks or bathroom breaks were part of the deal. But then came the questions. How many more miles? How many more towns? How much longer? We would ask over and over. The longer we traveled, the greater the chance the questions would turn into whining. We're tired and we're hungry. And again, how many more miles? How much longer? Does this sound familiar to any of you? Yeah? Is today the day the disciples ask? It's that same kind of question. Is today the day when the kingdom will come? When thy will be done? What the disciples hope for here is the culmination of the story. The day when God will reconcile all. When Jew and Gentile alike will be brought together under God's big and beautiful umbrella. The day when peace will reign. The day when fighting and division will end. The day when our parched souls can soak up like a sponge the tenderness of God so that all the world can be brought into the bosom of the Lord. Isn't that what we pray each and every day? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Of course, the disciples would long for the day when the story would come to fruition. It's that same dream that the Holy Spirit has placed in your heart and in mine. More than that, it is a mission that we have been tasked with. It's hard to hear Jesus respond to these questions with this statement, "It is not for you to know," or "the season." You don't need to know the season when this will happen. It's not for you to know. Like children, the disciples probably wanted to whine and plead with Jesus. They want to know, how many more miles? How many more days? How many more years until the kingdom will come? How long must we wait? And Jesus, can you just wait with us? Before leaving them again, Jesus says that the disciples will receive power. He will leave them, but they will receive power. Power for the tasks that lay ahead of them. To be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and indeed to the ends of the earth. We too are a lot like these disciples, those who hunger for that kingdom of God to come. In these days, we find ourselves in a culture that is asking these same questions, a world that is hungry for peace, for the peace of God that Jesus described. There are times when watching the evening news feels like a pre-apocalyptic experience with the way that we are globally connected. It's easy to see that what affects one affects all. This is true in terms of economy and trade, relationship, crime, and politics. No longer is the world sequestered into our own little worlds like my young sisters and I in the back seat. While it was a creative exercise in keeping the peace for my sisters and I, in today's world, it's just not possible to separate ourselves from the common good of our neighbors all around the world who are hungry for the same thing. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. More than ever, it would be easy to fall upon the trap that those same disciples had, gazing up toward heaven, wanting Jesus just to take care of it all. Just get us to the destination, Jesus, I want to say. Just take us to the promised land. But there's another plan in place for the disciples and for us. Like children who need to learn the way on our own, Jesus departs but says, the Holy Spirit will be with you, and you will receive power, and you will be witnesses to my message throughout the world. Well, this is not what the disciples had in mind. They thought Jesus would be with them forever. They had grown accustomed to having Jesus tell them which way to go. They were comfortable and secure with Jesus as their guide. But without Jesus, again, what would they do? I imagine that's why, following Jesus' glorious ascension, the disciples gathered together to pray. To pray as they prepared to receive the Holy Spirit, to receive the power that would bring. Because when on a long journey, especially without Jesus and no GPS, what is one to do but stick together and pray? And so they prayed. And we pray along with them from season to season, from age to age. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.